Please take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel, chapter 3. And in a moment, I'll have you stand, but it is a blessing to be able to speak to you on this day. But a number of years ago, in fact, back in 1980, my Bible that I had at that time was attacked by one of my children, and they ripped out most of Mark and most of Luke. And when they heard this, members of our church at that time, Joel and Susan Weinberger, went out and bought me a brand new Bible. And they gave it to me on April 21st, 1980. So I've had this Bible for how long? 44 years. Well, this Bible began to lose part of itself. And so the Flemings gave me a gift card to buy the Bible that I now use regularly. But I thought I'd use this Bible because it's a special day. So if you would, let's stand. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. If you would, over to verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in his haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that, Lord, when we go through the trials of life, thou art there. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your patience, your long-suffering, for second chances. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We find in verse 1 that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits. Do you know how high 3/4 cubits is? I'm going to tell you. 90 feet. That's pretty high. That's like a 9-story building. 90 feet. And at its base, it was 9 feet across. And we find in verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king
had set up.
You can imagine the news of this huge image that has been set up. Throughout the land, they had heard of it. 90 feet tall. And verse 3 says, then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. In your mind's eye, see all these men of government standing there in front of this image. Now, I guarantee you that whenever you get a group of people, there are going to be those people who are going to be in awe. They're going to say, wow, look at that. That's magnificent. And there are others that are going to be, oh, man, I could be doing something better than being here. And how about that third group? They're going to be critical. Because we know people can be critical. No, nobody in this room. But people can be critical. And they're standing there wondering, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? Verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Can I tell you right here, and our pastor has mentioned this, the world has its music. It has its music, and we know its music. And we know that the Lord has his music.
That's right.
We know that God has music that honors him. And what we see in today's world is churches drifting from the Lord. And with it, their music.
That's right.
We live in an entertainment-driven society. We want to be entertained 24/7. We want to be entertained. And the music the world uses, it tingles us. It excites us. It draws us. It's amazing. Number of years ago when one of my grandchildren, we were at a Christmas concert that their school was putting on. And the music was going on and there would be Christmas music, the Christmas hymns. And he was sitting there beside me listening to it. But as soon as the secular music came on, he jumped up and he was only 7, 8 years old. He began dancing. And then the hymn would come on and he'd sit down. And he'd say, well, how did that happen? Because the world has its music and God has his music. And I guarantee you, when the music came on, the Jewish people there knew immediately, this isn't God's music.
Amen.
It was not. But notice, it says, when the music comes on, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Folks, we live in a dark world. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world that has taken the wickedness that was 25, 35, 100 years ago and now has said it's not wicked anymore. In fact, it can be even desired. It can be desired. We are being lied to over and over and over again. And you know what happens is we don't like to hear the preacher say that. And so we get upset at the preacher. Don't get upset at the preacher. God has his ways. He has his will. And when we get upset with God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, I don't know what lays ahead, Brother Lance, with these hate crime issues that are coming out. But when preachers preach against homosexuality, we are being called haters. Now, they have the right to say, we have this right. But if we say, no, you don't, then we're the haters. The other day, we had been out in New York State with a couple of our grandkids going to some waterfalls. And we came back, and Brian and Erica wanted to know when we were going to bring the kids home. They wanted them home on Friday. Donna said, no, Saturday. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm being here in the middle. I'm driving the car. And finally, we said, the kids don't want to come home yet. So we brought them home so that on Saturday, we had to take the kids over to Waterford where we make what would you call that, when we transfer them from our car to their car. And as we passed Puff, you know where Puff is up here on Van Dyke? It's the marijuana place. They were having something going on. And the people were out the door, along the front of the building, down the side of the building, waiting to get in. Now, I'll be honest, when I came in this morning, people weren't waiting to get in. Isn't it amazing? Where is this leading? What was once considered wrong is today not only considered okay, but is being pushed in our face. It's amazing. If we don't bow down to what is politically correct, they want to label us as haters. Well, really what it is they're haters of the Word of God. This is what they hate. This is what they hate. Verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, all these musical instruments, they were to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. The desire is to have a world that gets together well. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker on the back of a car that says coexist? And they have all the religious symbols and, well, unfortunately, there's a T in there, so they have to put on a cross. But to my amazement, I was walking the other day to a waterfall, and this guy had a tattoo on his arm that said coexist. Of all the things to have tattooed on your arm is what coexist with the T for Christian at the very end. See, today's politician says, well, we should all get together and be friends. Folks, religion is sending people to hell.
That's right.
There's only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross. Amen. Your next door neighbor may be the nicest person in the world, but if they are worshiping some false religion, some false god, it is sending them straight to hell. Nebuchadnezzar is saying, worship me and you will live. But this is just a short time of life here on the earth. Last Sunday, Brother Jones turned, what, 85? 86. 86. For some, that's a long time. It's a long time. But in the overall scheme of things, how long is 86 years? Today, Cindy is celebrating, what, 66 years? Is that right, 66? You know, women don't like you to tell their ages, but she's way back there, and I think I can outrun her. Yes. When my wife and I got married, we're the same age. Now I'm 10 years older than her. Yes. But religion will not get us into heaven. And there are a lot of religions. And even though they say coexist, the question is, are we right with God? Verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear, and they give all the music again, are to fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. In your mind's eye, hundreds, maybe thousands of men are here at this golden image, and the music begins. The music begins. And immediately some, boom, down, they start worshiping. And then there are others that are looking around and they're thinking, I'm not sure we should do this. But okay. And they go down. And suddenly there are three. Count them. Three men who were still standing. Do you think there were whispers that went through the crowd? Look at those guys are still standing. You know, it's good to have someone you can lean on during a rough time. It's good, isn't it? Yeah. That there is someone you can call on. And here these three men can lean on each other, because it'd be even harder for just one. You can ask Daniel about that, being the only one. Now, I can't prove this, but you know, there's a lot of jealousy in politics. There's a lot of jealousy in the sports world. There's a lot of jealousy at your workplace. There's a lot of jealousy in your families. There are those who are jealous of their brothers or sisters. I remember listening to a mother who was jealous of her daughter. Jealousy. I wonder if there were some men that were jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can't prove that. But here we find these three men have not fallen down. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What if I said to you, Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach? Would that bother you? Oh, what if I said Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego? You know, we're so used to hearing it in a certain order, aren't we? But do you look forward to talking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in heaven? What an example. What an example they are for us. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, I know we have to move along quickly, but I'm going to ask you this question. If you'd have been there, would you have bowed down and said, well, I don't have to worship him. I can just go down like everybody else. They'll never know. I think you were talking about that in Sunday school, how you can be at the wedding reception and pretend you're drinking, but not really drink? Yes. Could they have done that? Would anybody have known that they were faking it? Can I ask you a question? Do you think there are people that come to our church that fake it? They sing our songs, they open the Bible, they listen, and out the back door they go? Oh, yes. There are those who are just going through the motions. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. They remained standing. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, that at that what time you hear the sound of the music, you fall down and worship, well, it'll be good, right? If you're willing. At the end it says, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar, you could say, had the big head. I mean, after all, his kingdom stretched all over the place. And they had taken many nations into their kingdom by overcoming them. In other words, my God is bigger than your God. And so obviously I have more power than you do. Now that's what he was saying, is my God is better than your God. Well, why were the children of Israel taken into captivity? Because their God didn't love them anymore? No, because the children of Israel had fallen into sin.
That's right.
They had stopped worshiping the way they should, and God punished them and allowed them to go into captivity. And so what we have here is Nebuchadnezzar thinking, hey, my God is bigger, and so nobody can overcome me. Now, Nebuchadnezzar will learn later that there is a true God. But he asks the question, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is our God? Who is our Lord and Savior? And are we willing to make a stand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to make a statement here that is amazing. Listen. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not going to be politically correct. We are not going to try to save our physical lives. Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They knew one way or another their God would deliver them. In life or in death, one way or the other. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let me ask you a question. Has God stopped every believer from being persecuted? We know that hundreds, yea, thousands of believers have died throughout history. We know that Christians have been tortured beyond measure. At one time, they would take boulders and they would pile them on top of believers. And they would either put on enough of them to crush them, or the person would call out and say, enough, enough, take them off. In one case, the believer said, add more weight. What would we say? There have been times, and if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll find that they would put them in dungeons, chained, covered with honey, and let the rats come in and eat them. Sounds gruesome, doesn't it? They would take them to places out into the ocean where there are tides, and they would tie them to a stake. And when the tide would come in, the water would come up and up and up to a point it would drown them. God didn't stop it. Why did he stop it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I don't know. But these three men were such testimonies that God has used their example for centuries. He can, but he doesn't have to. Peter was nailed upside down on a cross. Don't you think that Peter should have survived? I mean, he was a great disciple of God, but yet he was allowed to die. The Apostle Paul was beheaded. He didn't stop it. How about John the Baptist? What'd they do to him? They beheaded him because he spoke against sin. And what we find is that God does not always deliver physically. But wouldn't it be amazing to have him standing there when you get there and having say, "Welcome. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." See, the world doesn't understand our faith. They don't understand why we want to serve a God no matter what. But we must be willing to be a testimony for the Lord. Amen. We began when first reading that Nebuchadnezzar was so angry that he heated the furnace up 7 times hotter than it needed to be. And the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego died throwing them into the fiery furnace. Are there certain things that you have never forgotten? That something happened in your life and you have never forgotten it. And I can remember when I was married here, 50 plus years standing right here, and right there is Donna singing "Trust and Obey." Married right here in this very, something I'll never forget. I can remember when they brought Matthew out of the room, the surgical area, because Donna had to have a C-section for Matthew. And they called me over, and there is my bloody son. They hadn't even cleaned him yet. And they were taking him up to the floor where they had the babies. Things you never forget. I think Nebuchadnezzar never forgot what we're going to read here. Verse 25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." A Christophanes, many will call it. Here is Christ being here with these men. It's amazing that there are times in which it is hard to stand up for Christ. It's hard to do that which is right. But folks, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Now, we don't have time to read the rest of the chapter, but we know that there is a message that is sent out that nobody can argue against their God because of their willingness to stand up for the Lord. How about you today? Are you willing to stand up for your God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a testimony no matter what comes? One of the men that was sent out of our church a number of years ago to become a pastor in the state of Iowa, Brother Plenis. And when he went out to Iowa, he had to work a job to help cover the costs of things. And he was put into a place that made matches. Now you say, "Pastor Paul, so what?" Well, he's on the line doing whatever he had to do when the matches came down and the packaging came down and make sure all the matches got into the package, when suddenly one came down and there was a naked woman on the match box. And then the next one came down and there was another naked woman. And then another naked woman. And he stopped the machine and he said, "Wait a minute. I can't do this." And they said, "Why?" "Because I can't look at these pictures." And they looked at him and they said, "Mr. Plenis, you work for us. This is what you're doing today. What do you think he did?" He walked out. He said, "I can't do this. I cannot do this." Folks, there are times it's going to cost us something to stand up for the Word of God. May I encourage you to do that which is right. Pastor.